So the title of the message this morning is He Must Increase. And that is the very end of the first story we're going to focus our attention this morning. If you can turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read quite a few verses. I'll have the words on the screen, but you can also follow in your Bible. All the Bible verses on the screen will be on the New King James Version. And before we start reading, let's once again have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to once again invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts, open our minds, our ears, that we can receive your message, not mine. So please guide our thoughts and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to meditate a little bit about the life of John the Baptist. So verse 1 starts like this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken out by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And we're going to keep reading. Verse 11 now. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verses 13 through 15 now. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And we all know the story. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And on these verses that we just read, we can have a glimpse of probably one of the most important traces of character that we can learn in the Bible. One of the traces of character of heaven, which is humility. And we know that the Bible has many examples of humble men of God. But for me personally, John the Baptist is the greatest humble person in the Bible after Jesus. We're going to see a few other examples. But I believe John, in my personal I believe it personally that he's the greatest example after Jesus. Let's check another example of humility. And we'll find it in Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16. This is also a very known story. And here we have Joseph being called by Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had this dream and he wants to know what that dream means. What is the interpretation? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, verse 15, I have had a dream and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand the dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered. He answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And here we say that Joseph gives all the glory to Pharaoh. Even though he was being flattered by the most important person on earth back then. Not only in his country, he was great emperor, big empire. And he calls Joseph and, hey, you are the man. I heard about you. I need you to tell me my dream. And his answer is, nope, it's not in me. It's God. Let's see another example of humility. We'll find a few examples, not a few, a bunch, many of them, in the life of David. And here in 1 Samuel 18, David is still a very young man. And Saul already know him. And Saul already doesn't like him because he's a great man of war and people like him so much. So Saul, with bad intention, calls David and starts also flattering him. And look what he said. First Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18. One day Saul said to David, I am ready to give my older daughter Merab as your wife. But first you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, and that is the real intentions behind that, I will send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself. So, in disguise, Saul calls David and says, hey, you are a great man and you're going to have my daughter. I'm going to give her to be married to you, but you need to go to battle and fight this battle for the Lord. But his real intention was to try to get David killed. And after being flattered by the king, this is what David replies. Who am I and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? And David exclaimed, my father's family is nothing. So here's the response to Saul was, I'm nobody. You're offering me to marry your daughter, but no, I'm nobody. Looking for this precious trait of character in the spirit of prophecy, I found this beautiful passage. It's sad at the same time in Testimonies for the Church. And do you believe that this is a abundant thing in church today? Do you think humility is an abundant trait of character within our gates today? Let's read. Those who teach unpopular truth today must have power from on high to combine with their doctrine, or their efforts will be of little account. And now, the next phrase, the precious grace of humility is sadly wanting in the ministry of the church. Men who preach the truth think too highly of their own abilities. True humility will lead a man to exalt Christ and the truth and to realize his utter dependence upon the God of truth. It is painful to learn lessons of humility, yet nothing is more beneficial in the end. The pain attendant upon learning lessons of humility is in consequence of our being elated by a false estimate of ourselves, so that we are unable to see our great need. Vanity and pride fill the hearts of men. God's grace alone can work a reformation. And again, Ellen White is not talking about the world. She's talking about the church. She's talking about me and you. And there she continues, it is your work, my brother, to humble yourself and not wait for God to humble you. God's hand at times bears heavily upon men to humble them and bring them into a proper position before Him. But how much better it is to keep the heart daily humbled before God. And when I was reading this, I remember that story that Frank Fournier told us about one day that he asked God to humble him. And he said it was probably the worst prayer he had prayed his whole life. Because he said God really humbled him. And it was a crushing experience. So our prayer has to be that God help us to humble ourselves before Him and not ask Him to humble us. Do you know who this man is? Huh? Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. And he was, by Daniel's account, he was the head of gold. He was the great emperor and the great empire of the whole human history. And he was not a humble man. Not at all. On the contrary. And this is one of the pictures that give us an idea of how beautiful the city he built was. We know that even today, archaeologists in the world, they are fascinated by how beautiful and modern Babylon was. And this is it's not a perfect illustration of how the gardens, hanging gardens of Babylon were, but it's just to give it an idea. Those gardens, those hanging gardens upon the walls, upon the walls of the city and every building, they are considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was a display of this marvelous kingdom and the riches of this empire and his emperor. And we know that Daniel was working closely, very closely with Nebuchadnezzar. And after many years working with him, and Nebuchadnezzar having this opportunity to watch powerful demonstrations of God's power, he still, instead of being humble, he was proud of his accomplishments. And we see that in Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to read one verse in Daniel chapter 4. And it's the verse 30. And the king spoke, saying, "It is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by might, mighty power, and for the honor of my majesty." Can you imagine this powerful man having this beautiful city, this amazing empire? He probably looking through his window, contemplating those beautiful gardens and all the riches. He looks at everything. "Hey, I'm great. Look at this. Look at what I have built by my mighty power, for the honor of my majesty." So he exalts himself, even though he learned throughout the years about the God of Daniel. He knew that that was the true God, but still he fell on this trap of considering himself a God. And you know what happened exactly at that moment? In the beginning of verse 31, we have this interesting account that immediately as he spoke, while the words were still in his mouth, that's what the verse says, a voice of heaven was heard, and God spoke to him and told him, "Hey, you're done. Your kingdom will pass. And now you're going to lose all the power you have." And we know what happened with him. He became a beast. We know that hair grew out of his body, his nails, his hair, and he lost the sense of humanity. He couldn't communicate, he wouldn't sit down and eat and do things that a human normally do. He became like a beast, and he lived outside, not in the palace anymore, as a beast, the proud king, humbled by God. But the story doesn't end here. We know that after a while, something changed. But let's just go back to that that part from Testimonies. It is your work, my brother, to humble yourself and not wait for God to humble you. Because God's hands at times is heavy. It bears heavily upon man to humble them and bring them to a proper position before Him. Now, if you go to verse 34 in Daniel 4, we're going to see the end of the story. What happened after that? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth, and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride, He is able to put down. So in the end, Nebuchadnezzar praises God and acknowledges that God puts down those who walk in pride, as He did with him. Let's go back to the life of John the Baptist. Turn to John 3, and we're going to read verses 22 through verse 30. So John 3, verses 22 through 30. And it says like this. After these things, Jesus and His disciples came into the land of Judea, and there He remained with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Can you imagine a little bit of friction going on between John's disciples and Jesus' disciples? Because John's ministry was flourishing, and then Jesus came, and he was talking in his ministry about him. And now, Jesus' ministry starts to grow, and he starts drawing people's attention. So, looks like there's a little bit of less people following John and hearing his message, and there's more and more people following Jesus. So, John's disciples, they were kind of jealous a little bit about what's going on, and they questioned him. Hey, that man who you were talking about, he's baptizing, and people are coming to him. Aren't you going to do anything? So John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. And then in the end he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that is a humble spirit. That is a very powerful demonstration of a humble spirit. And we know that John the Baptist is called a forerunner. He had a special job, a special purpose. He came to prepare the way for the Lord, and he knew it. We see that in Malachi 3:1, there's a prophecy specific telling about John's purpose, John's job. So Malachi 3:1 says, "Behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." So John was that man, the forerunner, according to Jesus. Jesus himself, in Matthew 11:10, quotes Malachi and says, "For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I sent my message before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" And it's natural that a forerunner steps out once the Messiah or Jesus began to fulfill his own ministry. And this is exactly what John did. And he gently helped his own disciples to understand that. So they were probably shocked that John was not doing anything about it. But John gently brings them to this position and tell them, "Hey, I'm just a messenger, and I was preparing the way for him. So he must increase and I must decrease." Christian leadership, page 11, and the first paragraph says, "Walk humbly before him. Take unto you the whole armor of God, and never forget the gospel shoes of peace. Go not to any man with a heavy tread or with anger in your voice. Let all God's servants, from those occupying the highest positions to those in the lowliest service, walk humbly before him." And it's really easy to be led astray in pride, even when you consider God's things and you look to the world, what a mess the world is, and you follow God and you keep commandments and you keep the Sabbath, and sometimes you're just walking around and you see people doing wrong stuff, and it's very easy to, with pride, look at people, "Hey, I'm not one of those." Like the Pharisees, "Oh, I'm not one of those. Thank God for my humility." But this is what the Lord requires from us, to walk humbly before him. And in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, here we find this very requirement coming from the Lord. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" So that's a question for us. Has the Lord asked us anything else other than this? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So my prayer to you and to me this morning is that we learn how to walk humbly with the Lord. We ask the Lord daily to break our pride and help us to humble ourselves in his presence. And he can help us to do that.